Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
It's time to get classy.
Let's do it. See, the funny thing about that intro is I was scared I was going to get my name wrong. Because for some reason I was looking at your wall of books, and I was really fixated on Dean Koontz over there. And I don't know why. So I was really afraid that I was going to be like, my name's Dean Koontz. I'm like, no, it's not. Hi, everyone.
You're doing okay.
I'm doing okay. It's been a long week.
Sounds like it. You thought you were Dean Koontz for a hot second there.
I'm definitely not Dean Koontz.
All right.
So many jokes I can make about that, but go
so
on.
So, we've got...
A lot of wrestling.
A lot of wrestling.
That we both need to cover, like, previously and ahead of us.
Yes, we're in the middle of a lot of wrestling.
Yes.
And there's a... There's not really a beginning and an end to the wrestling week now.
No. You know how, like... There's, like, a brief window, like... Thursday through Saturday.
But it's almost like, really, is there?
Yeah.
Especially because Lucha's coming back.
Right,
Lucha Season 3 is about to start, and...
That's on... No, I thought that was on Wednesdays.
Yeah, but, okay.
Wednesdays is packed.
I'm sorry, do you watch NXT, CWC, and Lucha all at the same day?
No, but I watch CWC and NXT on the same day.
Okay, but, like...
I'm very far behind on Lucha. Some would say I haven't started.
My point is, like, because there's so much wrestling content, and because I live in a world where I don't have to let them dictate my schedule anymore.
Sure.
There's no beginning, and it used to be like, you know, you had Raw at the beginning.
Yeah, and a little bit of a break.
Mm-hmm. And you would
Thursday or Friday.
Yeah.
And they ruined that with two really good shows on Wednesdays.
Well, we have this situation that we're sitting here like, all right, so let's try and do this chronologically. What did we cover last week? I don't remember.
I think the only
what
thing we,
happened. Like, I don't remember where we were in the timeline last week.
I know the only thing that we jumped ahead on was CM Punk because we're recording this the day before his fight.
Yeah.
But I know we know a lot of people would probably not be able to listen to this before his fight tomorrow night.
We talked about Del Rio and Paige being suspended.
Right. And as of today, Del Rio is gone from WWE.
Yes, we can now update.
There's still a lot of speculation with Paige, but nothing has been, as that I know of, nothing's been official yet.
I think there's been talk of Paige getting a lawyer. It has echoes of Punk's leaving. There's a lot of stipulations in the WWE contract.
Sure,
and most of that favor WWE and not the wrestler.
Right, and I'm assuming the lawyer's mostly over the whole non-compete aspect.
Right, it's a lot
because she does have a lot of time left on her contract.
Mm-hmm.
So I assume that's the biggest point of contention. And there might be a whole bunch of other stuff that we don't know of, but usually. That's the main issue.
Well, there's the non-compete. There's also the independent contractor aspect of...
Sure.
Just the WWE contract in general.
Yeah.
And so we'll bring you more as that develops. Bummer, I guess? Like...
Sure. I mean, it's a long stream of bummers, to be honest with you. And it's mostly around, like... how much potential there was with WWE and these two wrestlers that just wasn't capitalized on.
Yeah.
Especially, like, you know, because apparently, like, the big thing with Del Rio is, like, oh, you're going to get a main event push if you come back. He comes back and he beats John Cena's first night, but then that's pretty much the end of his momentum right there.
Mm-hmm.
And Paige, she just was erased from... the, you know, main event diva / women card after the, you know, the NXT call-ups.
Yeah.
And, I mean, sure, like, by comparison, Paige is pretty inferior compared to a lot of the talent that has come up from NXT. But at the same time, she's also, you know, above a lot of the current women that they had on the roster before her.
Right.
And, you know, half the roster on there... as, like, still to this day. I don't know.
I feel like both of these people, but Paige especially, Paige is very much, I mean, we can argue forever about, like, you know, the Divas Revolution and when exactly that started and who kicked it off. And, you know, wasn't the Bellas, but while we can all agree on that, we don't know exactly.
Just because they were in the ring when the hashtag started, you know, started becoming popular.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that they're the start of it. That just means they're the ones that were wrestling when everyone was complaining about the current state of Divas or slash women's wrestling. So really, they are the spiteful cause of the Divas Revolution.
We can definitely say that Paige had some influence.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But it almost feels like with her and with Del Rio, like, as I'm getting ready to, like, muster up, like, oh, it's a shame they're gone, they never got a chance, you know, woe is them, woe is us for not seeing their full potential. WWE has all these, like, new shiny toys, look at this!
Sure.
We, you know, here comes this whole slew up from NXT.
Right.
You know, new women's title, new da-da-da-da-da.
And it was one of those things where it's just like, well, I mean, even with the draft and them being on different shows with, you know, smaller rosters, they were still getting lost in the shuffle.
I don't have
as in like WWE wasn't doing anything really interesting at all with them.
I don't have a chance to miss them.
Right.
Because, you know, I have this whole, I have Sasha Banks, I have Becky Lynch, even I have Charlotte, I have this plethora, and, you know, it feels like with Del Rio there was just nothing there for him.
Right.
And so it's like, as much as I thought, like, Del Rio is a talented wrestler, he can do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
As much as there's, like, things I can point to over the past 5 years or whatever it was, that I'm like, there's a good match. There's, you know, clearly talented.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing is the Ziggler double turn.
Right.
You know, we talk about, like, that. We talk about that. That has worked. That is the only match that comes close to working as good as Bret and Stone Cold.
Sure.
And, like, I couldn't even tell you what show that was on. Was that a
Payback?
Yeah. I don't.
It was one of those oddly good pay per views, and a lot of it was because of that match. But it was one of those things where it's just like, we weren't expecting this pay per view to be good at all, but it ended up being pretty all right.
Like it felt like, oh, let's stick this on a filler, just cause. So Del Rio, there's no, like, he wasn't that great. He was great. He was fantastic. Yeah. He was talented. He was saddled with some pretty meh gimmicks, you know, from the very beginning.
And some pretty feuds.
Yeah.
You know? He's definitely somebody that kind of fell through the cracks both times that he was with the company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With the company. I just, you know, there's so many different things that they could have
Well,
done.
There's so much like, oh, you know, world champion, WWE champion, Royal Rumble winner.
Right.
The guy that, you know, took the title away from Punk during that, you know,
SummerSlam, yeah.
The summer of Punk saga. Like, you know, a fairly impressive WWE resume.
Sure.
And it just feels like.
But if you look at the way that they were booking him in 2016.
Well, it just feels like, you know, if you want to talk about, like, the emotional impact of Del Rio's career, it's just like, oh, yeah, he was there. It kind of feels like, you know, he's on the same level as, like, upper mid-card?
Yeah.
Which doesn't match, you know, the stats of his career.
Yeah, so I think it's safe to say that this will probably be the last run with WWE.
I assume so.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what he would have to be promised to come back.
Right. Paige, I don't know. I guess it depends on their relationship in the years to come.
It depends on their relationship. Yeah.
There's a whole lot of other things that we don't really need to get into around that. Just the nature of WWE's reaction to them dating.
Yeah, I mean, and
which sounds pretty immature on WWE's side.
Yeah, but you also wonder, like, all right, how
there must have been a real, like, I wonder, like, what exactly was the reason why they felt that way.
Yeah, maybe they were unbearable. I don't know. Maybe that it had genuine locker room issues.
Sure.
At the same time, you look at, like, the Punk and AJ and John Morrison and Melina, and there's, like, they don't like one of them, which means they automatically don't like both of them. And in both of those cases, there's honest-to-goodness, like, examples of, like, well, AJ might not want to be that bad. Morrison was being a little bit of a jerk.
I'm still curious about exactly what both of them were suspended for. Assuming it's different things.
Yeah.
Or it might be the same thing. I don't know. But it just, I'm really curious about that.
Yeah. What'd you feel about Raw this week?
What happened on Raw this week?
Sasha Banks tried to make us all a bunch of puppets again.
Yeah. Can't believe I'm saying this. Not as good as Mark Henry's.
Not as good as Mark Henry's.
And I don't know, just... I
don't think it will ever work again. Like, no. I think Mark Henry got the one.
Sure, and I'm guessing that's why they decided to take a different path with it, with Dana Brooke interrupting,
mm-hmm.
and then Sasha, you know, being able to, you know, physically best her, and then revealing, oh, I'm fine. I was going to tell you it was going to be bad news for Charlotte, like that kind of thing. The execution of that wasn't great.
It wasn't, was it?
No. I'm assuming that... I mean, I just, you know, out of my love for Sasha Banks, I'm assuming that's all Dana Brooke's fault.
Well, honestly, I draw in comparison to the Mark Henry thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something about, like, trying to psych us out with, oh, it's been a long career and it's time for me to go home, and... Oh, I have a career-ending injury.
The injury.
Psych, no, I don't.
Yeah, the injury aspect is probably what made it feel not so great.
Because...
Watching it.
You know, there's some level of, like, I like watching these people put their lives on the line being very dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely.
For, you know, and then I'm still stingy when I'm like, you want how much for the network?
Right.
Maybe.
Right, they're willing to risk life and limb, and you're stingy with your $10.
Yeah, yeah, like, so, and then you make me confront that every now and then because, like, Edge can't, you know, can't wrestle anymore. Daniel Bryan can't wrestle anymore. And, like, All right, so, yeah, fine, we need to acknowledge that, mm-hmm. that you do that for me as a fan. But then to, like, try and make me feel bad about it, I don't like that. Leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Right.
They're
making you confront your own BS.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Poor you.
That's not what I signed up for wrestling, though. Like,
You didn't sign up for wrestling for them to hold the mirror up to you and look on it. Look upon it and jeer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was bad, though. It was bad.
Yeah.
It was. And it was... Career-ending injuries, career-threatening injuries, is not something to be taken lightly.
No, no.
It's not. And that doesn't quite line up with the, you know, if somebody dies, you should use it as a storyline. I'm fine with that. It's what they would have wanted.
Right.
I can't really consolidate those two thoughts, but I feel strongly about both of them.
But at the same time, we're also like, we're all kind of okay with the Paul Bearer thing.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's like, I'm totally okay with that. But like, oh, you tried to pretend you had an injury. That's not very respectful to people who have real injuries.
Right. Well, yeah. Like, it's like we were all cool with Paul Bearer, but yeah, we felt icky about the Ric Flair inclusion of the promo
mm-hmm.
with Charlotte. And I forgot who she was with. But yeah.
It's a case by case basis in all fairness.
Yeah.
And again, I love Sasha. You love Sasha. I'm happy to be like, this was poor writing.
I'm still blaming Duckface.
I don't think there was a good way to execute this.
No. Yeah, it was probably best to just steer clear out of this. Like, I would have preferred, like, a surprise return kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you've done that tonight instead of last Monday.
Yeah.
Do that instead of the fake retirement angle.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have preferred that.
Yeah. We were promised, what was it, a month and a half, 2 months ago, that we were done with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
And it lasted this long?
And it lasted two whole months, if that. Good for them?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, yes, they continuously put on great matches. I agree. But... I'm ready to see those two guys do something away from each other.
Yeah.
Which, like, we're getting that with Kevin Owens because he's kind of moving on to his own thing. Sami Zayn's still not really doing anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Except for having a good match against whoever is, you know,
whoever
they roll
throw
the dice
up against.
You know, against him, yeah.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing where I get going back to that well again and again. And I like that they hate each other. I like that, like, a third of their personality is based around the fact that they hate the other guy. But that should not stop them from having well-developed, meaningful feuds with other people.
Yeah.
If they are in, put in a fatal four-way, if they are in the Rumble, I like it that anytime they're in that kind of thing, they make a beeline for each other. Right. Just that little hint reminder, like, oh yeah, these guys really hate each other. They can't keep their hands off each other. They just got to punch each other in the face.
Yeah.
But I don't want more matches for like a year. I want a year of not them.
No, I can go here.
So, and again, you know, they are both talented and should be top tier guys, and so maybe they're in some main event fatal four ways on Raw every now and then.
Right.
And if that's the case, you, as soon as the bell rings, they run each other, punch each other, and do that thing.
Sure.
And that's great. I like that. It's a little reminder of, oh yeah, these guys really hate each other. But other than anything beyond that, starts to be like, oh, I've seen this. I'm done.
Yeah.
This is like dipping toes into Cena and Randy. It's not there yet, but I can see the path.
Right, you can see where it's leading.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of what else happened.
Well, the biggest thing is Triple H wasn't there.
Right.
Triple H didn't come out to explain himself.
Which is, I mean, it wasn't crucial that he'd show up. Because, you know, it's one of those things where, like, everyone was still talking about it, like, or the announcers were talking about it pretty much throughout Raw.
Yeah.
I don't think we probably will see him until he's probably going to do some sort of run-in at Clash of Champions.
Yeah.
Not Clash of the Champions.
Well, when we're doing this, like, this will probably happen. You're kind of, you know, fantasy booking a few months in advance. And, you know, at some point you sit there and you're like, so Survivor Series is in a few months.
Right.
They have a Canadian champion. Survivor Series is going to be in Canada this year.
Right.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
But then you're like, well, okay, so what do they have between now and then? Well, I know Hell in a Cell is there. Is Hell in a Cell Raw this year? Or is it a SmackDown thing?
I believe it's Raw.
Okay, so is SmackDown getting a October pay-per-view?
Yeah, they'll get it.
What's it going to be like?
I don't know.
So does Raw get all the real ones and then they make up new ones for SmackDown every single time?
Or use prior properties?
Well, use prior names, but they're making up new things.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
I mean, let's not get carried away. Like, they're bringing this classic pay-per-view out of the gimmick.
Sure, and right. Yeah, they're bringing them back because they have ownership of that name.
Yeah.
We'll see.
So, I mean, if Raw gets all the, you know, real ones that are established and SmackDown gets a bunch of generic names that they have used in the past.
Unless they do something like, I mean, I know they have them pretty much all planned out for the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, like, have Raw have Hell in a Cell and then give SmackDown, like, Elimination Chamber or something.
Yeah, something like that is fine.
Yeah.
Like, but SmackDown,
different but similar kind of structures.
SmackDown needs something, some of the establishments.
Yeah.
That aren't. SmackDown needs some exclusive establishments if we're to continue to pretend that they're equal shows.
Yeah, because, I mean, what's backlashing from? You know?
Yeah. Summer like,
it's pretty much a whole new, like, card.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was kind of, like, the whole, like,
the whole concept of Backlash initially was
it was the pay-per-view after WrestleMania, so it was, like,
it was the fallout, the result, the, yeah. You know.
And so now it's like the result is everyone's doing new things right now, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And crowning new champions. But I guess that being said, we probably should go ahead and jump into Backlash. SmackDown was okay, but there was not really a whole lot to.
Go home show.
I mean, they did a little something with the tag teams. They like the Usos turned heel.
Yeah.
Like, definitively, and took out American Alpha, so they can't move on to their. You know, doing something, and we'll get to when we cover the card, but I feel like that kind of, I can't think of the word is right now, that they kind of showed their hand on where they're going to go.
Yeah.
With the tag team champion, or the SmackDown tag team championships.
I don't like that.
I don't either. SmackDown Women's Championship. And you saw on the graphic on Raw, that it's the Raw tag team championship mm-hmm. now.
I don't like it.
I don't like it either, but, I mean, this is the environment that we live in. We wanted this this brand split, and this is what we got.
Yeah, I want
byproduct of that. Like it, Joel.
I want a brand split. I don't want a
like it or leave it.
I don't want a brand and a blue version of the same brand.
You hate freedom. If you hate freedom, you can get out.
I want the freedom to do other things, not the cold corporate shackles to do the exact same thing twice a week.
Not my WWE. All right, so here we go with Backlash. I'm assuming this is going to be like the opening match on the card.
Okay, so we have what, 5-6 matches now?
Six total matches.
I'm assuming it's a 3-hour show.
Assuming, yes, yeah. They haven't announced a kickoff, which I'm okay with.
Yeah, so I feel that... Is that a lot, like, we've gotten to... It's been so haphazard with the 4-hour shows
recently. I don't know if 6 matches is
exactly, for... yeah. It's like, that's either... That feels like either a lot or a little, too little. I don't know what, but it doesn't feel like the exact right number to me.
NXT usually works with about 5 for a takeover.
A takeover is 2 hours.
And it pushes that a lot of times.
2 hours and 10-15 minutes. It gives them a little
leeway. So I feel like 3 hours should be fine. If they give... I'm assuming a lot of these matches, because I don't really see what would be considered filler matches. Pretty much everything except for one has some sort of, something tied to it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to start with the tag team match to qualify for the tournament final, the Usos versus the Hype Bros. I'm going to say Usos.
Yeah, Usos.
Because they need a heel team.
Yeah.
So we're both going to say Usos?
Yeah, Usos. All right,
so I'm going to go ahead and move on straight to the tag team.
Okay.
I feel like this sets up for like the big payoff with Heath Slater, right?
Yeah.
Rhino's obviously going to be the reason that they win.
I assume so. I feel like, again...
Hopefully the crowd responds, because, like the crowd's been pretty much all in for Slater these past few weeks.
They have been, and I think that, you know, it was a weird kind of idea with the, like, what if we don't draft Heath Slater, and he goes back and forth.
Sure. Now they have to come up with an endgame.
And that's the kind of thing where, like, if that doesn't resonate... That could totally get swept under the rug. Nobody sure. really cared 3 weeks
ago. We could have him quietly sign and not really, you know.
Yeah.
But not mention anything for like a year until the next time Heath Slater shows up on their shows.
Yeah. I mean, he's just doing, you know, one of the tours to be a jobber in the house show.
Sure.
But it's working.
Yeah.
They're excited. So, do you think this means that... Are you going with Heath Slater and Rhino winning it?
Yeah. With Rhino probably getting the pin.
That just, it feels weird that, like...
I'm not saying they're going to be champion for very long.
I know, but this is theoretically supposed to be the first in the new long line of a prestigious championship.
Yeah, I know.
And it's going to the goofy Heath Slater storyline.
Uh-huh.
Because
WWE right now... has shown that they don't know jack squat about starting a prestigious tradition. So you might as well give the comedy act the championship.
All right, question. Can I pick...
You want the Usos to win? Is that what you're saying?
Can I pick... Because we don't technically know that the Usos are in there. If I pick not Heath Slater and Rhino...
You would rather have Hype Bros.
But if I'm picking in predictions, okay. can I pick
the field?
Yeah,
whoever is, you could go.
I'm picking the winner of the first match.
I mean, I'm not the one that keeps score on all this, so this is definitely a Blair question.
We will have to send an email, because that will determine my prediction.
Okay, well, do it tomorrow, because he's probably going to be asking.
No, that's fair.
He's going to be begging everybody. For
that's fair,
match.
But that's the.
So you'd rather pick the field?
I don't know, and I want to know all my options before... I mean, I have definitely changed my answer from between the podcast and having to submit for the Open.
Uh-huh.
But usually that's because, like, somebody I picked got injured.
Right, or some other additional
Yeah, like, I usually try and stick with the picks here, but, like...
Right.
I want to know. I don't know. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like... And part of it is... We kind of had to wait for SummerSlam to be over before I felt like SmackDown had a chance to really, you know,
sure.
split itself. This is theoretically this writing team's chance to really show themselves as, you know,
right,
the genuine raw alternative, the preferred. And they've, like, danced around, like, we're the smirky fan preference show. You know, the right. Raw is for the loser mainstream casuals. You want real wrestling, you come to SmackDown. With the, like, you know, submission Daniel Bryan is our GM. We're having AJ Styles fight Dean Ambrose. But right before that, we had Dolph Ziggler fight Dean. Like, here's all the dream matches.
And then right before that, they had Cena getting beat by AJ Styles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, things that Smarks love.
Exactly.
Right.
So,
because I was going to try to throw, like, the big John Cena wrench into everything that you were just saying.
But
they did have him lose cleanly to AJ in his first, you know, post-draft match. Or his first post-draft
pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view.
So,
fine.
I think it's possible they could be like, let's give Zack Snyder Zack Ryder a belt.
Zack Snyder! Wow. Everyone, you heard it here. Let's Joel put his name down for Zack Snyder to be the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Champions. He'll have both of them. He might even bring Aquaman. Who cares?
You mean Roman Reigns?
Yeah.
Zack Snyder and Roman Reigns for SmackDown Champion.
Even though Roman's on Raw.
What's next on the card?
Idiot.
No, I know.
You simpleton. Next up, we have the six-pack elimination challenge for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Becky Lynch.
Yeah, Becky Lynch as well. I have a feeling Carmella and Nikki are probably going to, like, take each other out one way or the other.
Yeah.
Some form of that. And it's probably going to come down to Natalya and Becky.
Becky Lynch.
And Becky's going.
Becky Lynch. There's no really question. She's the genuine contender that didn't get drafted to Raw.
All right, so now I'm guessing the winner is the darkest and edgiest of them all. That's pretty much what the feud is, but Randy versus Bray.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, the one where the promos is, oh, you think you're dangerous and crazy? I'm crazy. Like, that kind of, like...
It's just, like Hot Topic versus Spencer's.
Yes, absolutely, yes. Or, like... The occasional Hot Topic shopper versus like the one who shops there like every day. Yeah.
I kind of, if this match is literally not having a promo in front of my eyeballs, I tend to forget this feud is existing. Which is not a good thing.
No, it's not.
I'm gonna go Bray Wyatt.
I'm gonna say Randy.
That's fair.
Yeah. Because I'm assuming they're wanting to like rebuild Randy.
If it was a Raw match, I would go Randy.
Okay.
Because if it was a Raw match, I feel like Vince would, you know, oh, we broke him down for Brock Lesnar, we got to build him back up.
But they did say, like, on WWE television that they were going to have a rematch between Randy and Brock on, like, a house show coming up after Backlash.
Yeah. Is it going to be a televised house show?
I don't think so, but they're probably going to cover it.
So, okay, additional question.
Uh-huh.
Does that count as one of Brock Lesnar's appearances?
I don't know. You act like I have his contract in front of me. I don't know.
I'm just...
Appearances on television? No. Clearly not.
I'm asking the question.
But the fact that he's not on television would probably mean he wants more money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, I don't know.
I'm just asking the questions.
Okay. Congratulations for that. Bringing Michael Cole over here. He's award journalist or whatever. We have the Intercontinental Championship with Miz and Dolph Ziggler.
Okay, the smart thing to do would be put it on Miz. Like, the smart business thing to do would be to keep it on Miz, right?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's what I would probably do.
Like, that...
He's, like, the guy whose like name is still kind of, you know,
a few weeks
on headlines and stuff.
Yeah, a few weeks ago, Miz... was the most relevant thing, or was the most talked about thing in wrestling.
I was going to call you on that relevancy, but yeah. But he's the most talked about entity in the past couple weeks.
But it feels like even the next week, you know, it was almost like it was over.
Yeah. And honestly, just the simple fact that it felt like kind of a last-minute decision to even put Ziggler against Miz makes me feel like they're not ready to take it off of Miz just yet.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Miz.
Yeah.
But it's not as certain as I feel like it should be.
No. I don't know. I would like to think that they would build up somebody a little bit more to eventually take the belt off of him.
Yeah.
But then again, it's the Intercontinental Championship, so they might just not care that much about it.
That's very possible.
Yeah. And finally, we got the WWE World Championship.
WWE Championship.
Dean Ambrose versus AJ Styles. I'm going to say AJ.
Yeah?
I mean, they're using him, the fact that he beat Cena as if he broke the streak, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't think they're ready to break that momentum yet.
All right. Do you think he's going to win it clean?
I mean, if he beat John Cena clean, then he should beat Dean Ambrose clean, like,
yeah,
by, like, transitive beating properties.
I'm gonna keep it on Dean.
Mm-hmm.
I would be very interested in an AJ Styles champion heel who is cleanly defending the championship as a heel.
Yeah.
Like, all right, yeah. I would be very interested. It is a match, like, I'm just happy the match has happened.
Yeah, me too.
Either outcome is exciting.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stick with Dean.
Yeah.
As my official prediction, but...
Okay. I don't know, I feel pretty, pretty solid in picking AJ.
How do you feel about this match, about this show as a whole?
Kind of like I felt about Roadblock.
Yeah.
to be honest with you.
Right, like...
It doesn't feel like it's that big of a deal, but just maybe because it's not really Raw. I don't know. Like, it's definitely a new territory for their current product. I know they've done split shows in the past, mm-hmm, as far as pay-per-views. But there's just a lot of questions, you know. And again, like, it's only been 2 weeks.
Right.
So they've kind of had, like, that. I'm pretty sure that has something to do with it. You know, it just feels like everything was kind of glued together after SummerSlam.
If you missed, you know... this week of SmackDown, or last week of SmackDown, if you missed one episode of SmackDown, you missed half of the build-up.
Right.
And, you know, that's just... It feels thrown together. It feels... And we talk about, like, you know, who does WWE care about? And, you know, a myriad of obvious examples of, like, why it's Raw and SmackDown's still the B show.
Right.
And part of it is they, you know... I feel like there was some thought process of, we'll give SmackDown the first solo show to show that SmackDown's a real legit thing.
Right.
But that results in SmackDown has to put together an entire new storyline and feud and lineup for a show in 2 weeks, which is not doable.
Right.
And it's why, and half of the show is filled with brand new titles that didn't exist a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just... You know, they've kind of built feuds around that, but not really. And it's hard to build a feud around a brand new title.
Sure.
Especially when you've introduced three in the last month. You know, the two on SmackDown and the one on Raw. You've introduced three different titles,
mm-hmm,
that are brand new. It's hard enough when you have, you know... When you are changing the Divas Championship to the Women's Championship and be like, take this seriously now, and it's a new lineage of championship, it's already hard enough to be like, get on board, everybody.
Right.
And so when you do a whole month of brand new championships, they're all important, you guys. And it starts to be like,
not so much.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm tired of complaining about championships, to be honest with you. I did so much of it at Universal. And even by the time that they introduced the SmackDown ones, I'm like, okay, it's not great, but I don't really care anymore.
There's a difference between complaining about visual appearance and intended status symbol.
There you go, yeah.
Because honestly, like I talked about this week when we were watching Raw, that red belt's kind of growing on me. Didn't think it would. Thought it would be gross.
It's because Kevin Owens is holding it?
It's because Kevin Owens wore his suit holding it.
Okay.
And it looked good against that black suit.
Okay.
And it's like, okay, I can see, you know, I saw the belt look good against something.
And it matches his current color palette as far as, like, his in-ring gear. Which also worked with Finn Balor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and like
that's how they're booking it right now.
I hate to say it. I hate and it like it,
because
it,
you know
it
you
makes know my bones.
You know who's been coming to the ring
wearing red where he used to not wear red. It hurts my bones. But like
Roman Reigns,
that belt will look good on Roman. Like aesthetically, just as an aesthetic visual,
yeah.
That red belt with the red RR, like I can see the color palettes, and bumming me out. But so that's the thing is like. You know what?
Which also bums me that Cesaro isn't wearing red trunks anymore. He used to wear them.
But I have made my point about complaining about the visuals.
Sure.
It's lazy, and it's made several ugly, unimaginative titles.
Right.
But it's also what they are. And there are some fights that I, as a fan, feel like, we need to chant this every day until we get our answer.
Right.
When CM Punk was gone and we didn't know what or why or how or whose fault it was.
Sure.
No. Everybody chant CM Punk. Do not stop. You know, stand firm, my brethren.
Right. Then after a while, you find out more information. Like, okay, all right, let's just chill out. He's not coming back.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, but this is things like, I feel like I've said my piece. I don't need to keep complaining about
right.
the visual aspect of the belts.
I'm okay with that.
I can grow to be accepted of that. The intended status symbols of the belts
mm-hmm.
is different.
Yeah.
And that is something that needs to constantly... They need to earn it.
Mm-hmm.
That is so much... More than anything else in wrestling, at least in wrestling storyline, that is a show-don't-tell situation.
Okay.
Because they can make up champions all the time, and we know that. The freaking Vincent kid, you know, McMahon thing that Stephanie was won
in order
to bring back Shane. Like, you can make, and they're like, and this is the most prestigious thing. Nobody's ever even
right.
been worthy of this. Like, you can make these
I
things up.
All about that. Yeah.
That's the thing. You can make these things up all the time. So when you're like, we're making up a new women's championship, don't you want it? It's like,
yeah.
I don't know. Do I?
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, they've gotten into this thing lately. We're like, hey, here's an important thing. It's important because we say it, it's important. Do you believe us? Like that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
And to do it, you know, that with this back to back to back with the three new champions. And I get that they're four different people and they're, you know, there's a heavyweight and a tag and a women's. But to constantly, you know, almost on a weekly basis now, people and I hope they got to be done. But like we're going to have right. a cruiserweight title, right?
Yeah.
So there's. And it's not. I'm not even mad about the number of titles. I'm fine with. There are titles I still want. Like we talked about. Like I want a hardcore title. I want
an internet title or something like that.
Yeah, a network title. I don't know what you want to call it, but yeah,
right.
some sort of take advantage of modern day stuff. Don't call it the hashtag title.
Oh my god,
it's going to be called the hashtag title.
I just thought of something that's even worse.
Okay.
The Snapchat title. A title that can only be defended in 10-second sprints. It's like, oh, you reached your 10-second time limit. I guess you're still the champ.
So, I'm not mad at the number of titles.
Mm-hmm.
I am mad at the telling me it's a big deal instead of, you know, doing something to make it feel like a big deal.
Right.
And I don't exactly have a way around it, but when you have two brand new titles being when a title is... A brand new title is coming into existence, and it's not the only one happening on a show,
mm-hmm.
kind of dilutes the feeling of, like, this is an exciting new era.
Right. But there is something that you can be proud of about it, though. It's the fact that it's going to be worn around the waist of Heath freaking Slater. Hottest free agent in the game.
We'll see.
All right, we need to talk about the Cruiserweight.
All right.
The finals are coming up next week. They're going to do the semifinals and the finals in the same 2-hour live episode.
Yes.
I believe, if I'm understanding everything that was said on NXT this past episode, Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano are going to have a tag match against TBD
mm-hmm.
To kind of break, I'm guessing to break up the two rounds.
Now, just to confirm, is this a 2-hour live show that is the NXT time slot and the CWC time
slot? It is 2 hours on top of NXT.
But there is a separate NXT episode
that
will be.
Because I think Asuka is supposed to come back or something.
Okay.
Or is that, or was that this week? I don't remember. I don't remember. But they did advertise something for next week on NXT, and then they said, like, 2-hour special for Cruiserweight after NXT.
Okay.
So
just making sure.
Still another show to watch.
Yeah, an additional wrestling next week.
Here's where it gets tricky. Joel is still quite behind on all of this.
But not as behind as I was last week.
Not as he dipped his toe in the second round.
Yes.
So, and I have it on his word that he's going to continue to catch up until when
I will watch it live.
You will watch it live. Good, because one of us needs to, because Twitter.
Yeah, I will be watching it live.
Cool.
This Wednesday. Barring unforceen circumstances, sure. But like, the plan is to watch it live. The plan is not even to watch Raw and SmackDown live.
Sure.
But CWC is going to be watched live.
But seeing as how this is the last podcast before that, I have no choice in order for us to move forward but to mention who's in the Final Four.
And as always, you can follow us on Twitter, at CRAttire, where we live tweet all Mondays and every Sundays.
Are you done with your shtick?
No, I was going to see if you started just like Pavlovian response, had to do the next one.
I have enough control over my faculties to not do something like that.
Yeah, we'll see.
Sometimes.
Next time.
You picked the one time we're not recording at like 1 in the morning. At 1 in the morning, Chris probably would have gone along with it. First off, we have, this is going to make Joel happy, Zack Sabre Jr. and Grand Metalik.
Yep,
that's,
I knew it.
That's been Joel's favorite. He's been.
That was my favorite from the first match of this show.
Yes. And then on the other side of the bracket, we've got Kota Ibushi versus TJ Perkins.
Okay.
Does any of that surprise you?
No.
Okay, cool.
Honestly,
basically, it's two guys that WWE has signed going up against two guys that WWE really wants to sign but haven't.
Yeah. As soon as I knew that Jack Gallagher was gone.
Yeah.
That was like the there's too many people in my top five to fit in a semifinal.
Sure.
And as soon as I was like, oh, okay, that's the one that didn't make it. And so
right.
Now I know where we are. I know where we sit.
I have a feeling it's going to come down to Kota Ibushi, I feel like, is going to be TJ Perkins. I like TJ Perkins a lot, actually. He's kind of growing on me. But I feel like Grand Metalik is going to beat Zack Sabre Jr.
I feel like
Grand Metalik is going to be in the finals. Like, I ultimately...
I'm assuming it's Ibushi versus Grand Metalik.
Right. And honestly, I feel like they're going to go with whoever has been signed. That way they can use that momentum for something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's going to be a thing where, you know, they have kind of a verbal agreement that so-and-so will sign later on, and then they'll come in with the trophy up against the Cruiserweight champion at the time and be like, no, you're not the real, like,
yeah, that's the only way I can see it, and it works fine.
Sure.
As you have that first initial Cruiserweight championship holding the belt up, and then mysterious music hits and the guy comes out because
it's going to be kind of weird for them to be like, well, at the same time, it's going to be kind of weird for Raw to crown a Cruiserweight champion when the guy who won the tournament is out there somewhere, not in the company. Like, is he really the champion? Like, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
It would pay off later on, but Kota Ibushi is kind of like, he's kind of just doing whatever he wants right now.
I mean,
And good on him for it.
Okay, but imagine that exact storyline with Ibushi winning the trophy.
Right.
And then, what's his name?
Metalik?
No. I can't, I'm blanking. Chad.
Chad.
No. Oh, we literally just watched him. Alexander.
Oh, Cedric Alexander.
Cedric Alexander.
You call him Chad.
It was a C word.
You're a C word. but yes, and have a Kota versus Cedric rematch.
For the title. If you have Cedric Alexander be the first champion.
You really know how to
At whatever pay-per-view, as he is raising that title. Because
Joel has had to witness me, like, drooling over their match for, like, the past 3-4 weeks.
Yeah.
So he knows how to get me, you jerk.
Like, that's how you would do it.
That's how you would do it and if we were booking it, but we're not. So I feel like they're going to be who they've got signed.
That is the way to – if you're going to go with the not signed guy wins, then that's what you use it for.
Does the fact that you know the Final Four, does that ruin your reviewing the rest of them?
I'm just going to skip to the end now.
No, don't. No.
I'm not really.
No.
I just wanted to see the panic in your eye.
No. You need to see the match that puts Kota Ibushi into the semifinals. Like, like that's one of the standout, like that's one of the standout matches from this, from the point that you've seen on.
Yeah.
And it's a really good match. Like that episode in particular is really good. So I'm interested to see what you think when you move on.
So we're
kind of like, we don't really know what they're going to do.
No.
So you're not really going to pick, or you want to, are you going to say Grand Metal League?
I'm going to say Grand Metal League.
I feel pretty safe saying
It's the kind of thing where like, he's personal favorite, so I'm going to pick him till he loses.
Sure.
But he also happens to be really good, and they are clearly very high on the guy. Right, because
I believe he was the first one that they announced that previously signed by WWE in any fashion. But they went ahead and signed him and said he was going to be part of the Cruiserweight division.
Division, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. He also happens to be very good, and so, like, it's not a crazy thing. I'm not, you know, going out on a limb by picking him all the time.
No, not at all. I mean, especially when you have, like, a 25% chance of being right in a tournament. So, yeah. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to the show. I think it's going to be an amazing show.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, all right.
One last thing, though. I almost forgot about it. This is also the first week of football.
Okay.
So, I get to... First of all, find.
Is this gonna count as what's making you happy?
I guess.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going up against a team called the Corpus Christi Chihuahuas.
All right.
So it's Class Ring Attire versus Corpus Christi Chihuahuas, and if this thing will actually work, yeah. I mean, I feel like I've got a good chance just by looking at his quarterback. He's got Phillip Rivers and Kirk Cousins going up against Carson Palmer and Ben Roethlisberger. Like two of the better fantasy quarterbacks in football.
Is this are you using the podcast as your trash talking platform?
Yeah.
To this,
are you listening to me, you Corpus Christi Chihuahuas? You stand no chance against, you know, David Johnson, Doug Martin, Doug Baldwin. I can name all my team, my entire team. But like you got, you know, hooray! I've got Adrian Peterson and Frank Gore. Got two like geriatric running backs, you know, going up against my stuff, and I'm like, come on, dude.
Alright.
Thanks.
That's your...
Thanks. You're a real
you're
a real mean Gene Oakland, buddy. You're a real mean Gene Oakland.
Alright, back to you. Alright.
imagine.
Consummate professional.
Imagine you're in like the like early 90s WWF, and you got a wrestler who's just trying his heart out, trying to cut a promo, trying to talk smash, looking straight at the camera and pointing and all that stuff. And me, Gene Okerlund, just like looks at him, looks back at the camera, and is like, "All right, end of segment." Consummate professional, Joel. I can't even come up with a bad middle name, Leonard. You don't deserve a middle name, Leonard. How's that?
My point is...
What's your point?
My point is...
Yes?
You remember when Hulk Hogan did that, like, earthquake and saving the Hulkamaniacs on his back promo?
Yeah.
Don't go there, man.
I wasn't going to.
Yeah, but you're treading out, you're like...
You are not giving me anything to work off of.
Hey, Chris.
What?
All right.
In the stupid podcast.
What's making you happy, Chris?
You know what?
Oh, it is back.
You know what's making me happy right now, Joel? Is I was going to end the streak that I was currently having at the end of the podcast. I was going to do that for you because you always, like, roll your eyes, you suck your teeth or something. But you know what? Just because you're being a smarmy little prick right now, bringing it back. Just you wait. Just everyone hang on until the end of the plugs, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. What's making you happy, Joel?
I saw Suicide Squad.
Great. What'd you think of it?
Well, I was really...
It was a fun ride, wasn't it?
I was really looking forward to being smart and be like, well, Chris liked it, but like...
I said it was...
He likes dumb things, but I can do that. I was like, it's all right.
Yeah. I will say the witch, whatever her name was... Her CGI really took me out of it.
I did not
like her CGI.
I think it helped how bad the reviews are.
Like, just doing the weeble wobble for like a good 45 minutes. Like that's all she was doing, and the CGI was so bad for that.
Yeah, I think it. We're about to get real nerdy in here.
Okay.
Right,
real surprise, you guys.
So, have you seen the third Harry Potter musical? Barry Potter senior year?
Yes.
Do you remember the guy that was playing Moaning Myrtle?
It's the same guy that played Alfred and
Yeah, that Two-Face. Guy, yeah. Do you remember, like, he was being a ghost, so he was kind of, like, constantly making, like, floating motions while he was being Moaning Myrtle?
Yeah.
That's kind of what it looks like.
It is. I was thinking you were going more to, like, he was supposed to be dead and they couldn't carry him off stage because he was too big.
No, not that far. Not that far. That's funny. But, like, he had this, like, floating motion, so, like, he was like, this is what it means floating.
I forgot that he did, but now I just remembered it.
And that's what the Enchantress looked like.
Oh, man, guys, if you want to know what we're talking about, go to StarKid's YouTube page, find Barry Potter Senior Year, and watch a five-hour, half-assed musical?
I won't say half-assed. Like, it was
fully assed, but they had a...
But on very limited time.
Yeah, they didn't have a whole lot of...
Like, it is a five-hour musical. They literally had an hour to rehearse it.
You know what? Like, I'm gonna take that back, guys. If you guys want to watch a musical and a good one, go watch Twisted by the same people. It's great.
Twisted is the best part. I think it helped that Suicide Squad had such bad reviews because I came into it being like, all right,
you're expecting a dumpster fire.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I think it was a giant mess. I think it was very much a train wreck. It did not click and work. I think there was a lot of like random out of nowhere stuff. But that kind of works better for Suicide Squad than it does for Batman. Batman should feel like a very in-control movie. He's Batman.
Sure.
Suicide Squad can feel a lot more by the seat of your pants and like, hey, because we should put this in there. That sounds fun.
What about the Joker's involvement?
I don't like Joker. Joker's the worst part of the movie.
I was okay with, because everyone was complaining. It's like, oh, everyone went to see it because they wanted to see what they were doing with the Joker. They were disappointed that there wasn't much in it. Honestly,
you know
what? He was in it just as much as he should have been.
He was in it more than I wanted because I didn't like that Joker.
All right, fair enough.
Bad Joker. I mean, the Joker's my least favorite part of the movie. If they come up with the next movie and it's like completely different Joker and nobody acknowledges it, I'd be okay with that.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Just horribly obvious tattoos.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, I'm dark and mysterious. That's why I have the words dark and mysterious tattooed on my collarbone. You know, that kind of stuff. Like, come on.
Yeah.
That the hand tattoo with the
mouth.
And we put over his face and do the dumb laugh. Yeah, I didn't like that. But honestly, like, in the grand scheme of things, he was in it just enough, especially considering the Joker wasn't in Suicide Squad at all, I don't think.
Yeah. No, it's about the right amount of how much the Joker should be in that movie.
Sure.
So.
I mean, because they're giving a lot of backstory to everybody else. And, of course, they gave Harley more backstory because it was the Joker.
Yeah.
So, in that aspect, it kind of made sense. But his involvement in current-day stuff fell flat.
Yeah.
And, like, especially when it ended up being, you know, Harley Quinn, just ended up being fine in the end, especially with the helicopter thing.
Yeah.
She's just, like, standing there like, hi, guys, I know I just left you, but I'm main again. And just,
It is a... And honestly, like taking the Batman v Superman out of the question...
God bless you.
Well, Man of Steel, I was insanely hyped for Man of Steel.
Yeah.
I was like, let's do this. This is the Superman movie I've always wanted out of my life. Here we go. Right. And there's a lot that really works about Man of Steel. Mm-hmm. I came out of Man of Steel being like, that was a good movie, like willing myself to like it. Like, no, you like this, it's Superman, it's high budget, it's what you've always wanted.
But then just
having to process logic. And be like, you know, it has a lot of good points, but it is a fundamentally broken movie at its core.
Right.
And you can't fix that without a page one rewrite. Like it's a fundamental misunderstanding of the concept and character and creation of Superman, and it will not work with this style. I felt the same way about Suicide Squad. It is a fundamentally broken, flawed movie at its core, and you cannot, you know, it's so slapdash. It is a wreck of irreparably bad movie, poorly put together.
Sure.
But it's also about crazy messed up people, and so like.
Yeah. It's like, and I wanted to. Jarring, I thought it was okay.
Jarring and slapdash is not as bothersome with these characters as it is with Batman.
Sure.
Superman.
Yeah. And it was, you know, and it's David Ayer. I like him, and I really wanted to like it because of him, but it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah, I gotta say it. Don't expect the moon.
No.
But
It's a movie that I don't dislike.
Not the biggest dumpster fire I've seen this year.
I don't know. Oh, God. No, never mind.
Yeah, Batman v Superman.
Well, yeah. But there's also a bunch of other stuff that wasn't made in 2016. I'm guessing.
Oh, I meant made in 2016. Okay.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right, bro. I don't regret that I watched it.
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was still, like, overall a fun movie.
Yeah.
With plenty of flaws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
It's like, you know, it's just, like, I realize that Hot Rod is not a cinematic masterpiece, but I still enjoy watching it and laugh my butt off every time.
It is a very expensive Batman universe Hot Rod.
So, how do you, if you're DC, how do you recover from this and Batman v Superman?
All right, so we're not going to talk about wrestling anymore this podcast.
No, absolutely.
So if you
going to go ahead and do the plugs,
if you, we'll do the plugs at the end because plugs go at the end.
Okay.
If you're done with this because wrestling, why aren't they talking about wrestling for the past 15 minutes? That's fine. If you want to keep going, I'm about to blow your mind with how DC fixes this.
Okay, blow away, Joel.
All right, so
he's chains positioned in his chair and everything.
So sticking with what I have to stick with,
uh-huh.
which is Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, and this thing, Suicide Squad.
Right.
So, because I can't be like, scrap it, here's how I do cinematic DC. Can't do that. But if, you know, if I could, I'd have a hold of everything. But let's stick with the parameters that they have these movies, sure. And we're gritting our teeth, we're willing it.
And we're keeping it in the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Justice League's your next big thing. So,
I thought Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman is Wonder Woman's going to be Captain America. Wonder Woman's going to take place in World War I. It's not going to really affect everything else. It's a nice Wonder Woman origin story for everything. Okay. It's not going to have a huge impact on everything, though.
Okay. Of what we have coming down the pipeline, I feel like Wonder Woman has the biggest chance of being pretty solid.
I think it does. Yeah. But Wonder Woman's also mostly made.
Yeah. So there's not really a whole lot to do with
right. it. Right. And it should not have too much of an effect. It should be a nice – it's a nice, exciting thing that we can get up, have a whole movie to explore Wonder Woman because Wonder Woman is a very right. interesting character.
But in the grand scheme of things, it's just a Wonder Woman standalone, essentially.
Right. Well, it's like the first Captain America. Like, and she, you know, all Wonder Woman 2 through whatever else, all this Wonder Woman is going to take place, modern stuff.
Sure.
So we have Justice League. Justice League basically has – Act one being Batman goes on a quest to
find everybody.
And then act two has to be we got to revive Superman.
Sure.
That's going to be like act 1.5. Like, you can't wait too long. Because Superman, you got to yeah. – but by the top of act three, you got to have that line of people, you know.
Right.
Everybody ready to go.
So it can't be like Force Awakens where, like, everyone's like, we've got to get Superman yeah. up and running. And then, like, that's be the end of the movie and they finally resurrect
Superman. Because you need that exciting – Because your dawn of justice happened. This is justice sure. time.
Right.
So you have 40 minutes to assemble the Justice League.
Sure.
You have Flash being really excited about it.
Yeah.
You have Cyborg not being excited about it. You have Aquaman only caring about the water. And yeah. you have, you know, Wonder Woman being like, this is what's right, along with Batman.
Right.
So you end the movie basically with that, like, The bad guy is going to be Steppenwolf, I think, which, okay, but the bad guy is going to be Steppenwolf. When they stop him, he has to attack the water somehow, because as soon as the movie's over, Aquaman's first thing needs to be like, my first and only allegiance is the sea.
Right.
I'm glad we saved the world, but bye, because he can't show up in other movies. Cyborg needs this, like, I don't want to be a superhero. I just want my normal football playing life back. I'm not about the superhero life. He leaves. So you have all these things put in already. Why the Justice League doesn't come to it? Because that was honestly a little bit of a problem with Suicide Squad, where it's like, oh, the world's in trouble, and we definitely know that Batman and Wonder Woman exist in this universe. Maybe they should come,
right?
Save the world anytime. But, you know, there's like this long period of time where they're not. So you give him a couple of solo things. Flash gets a solo movie. Cyborg gets a solo movie. I really don't think you should do origin stories for these guys, especially if Justice League has happened.
Right.
Like, Wonder Woman's got a weird, long, interesting, complicated origin story, so I'm fine with giving her a whole movie to jump way back in time and do her origin story. Flash had a science experiment go wrong. Cyborg had a science experiment go wrong. Like, we don't need a ton of, you know, background. Same kind of thing with Aquaman. Aquaman movie needs to end with Aquaman basically getting... He saves Atlantis, but he gets kicked out of it. Like, for his, you know, crimes, he gets kicked out, which gives him a reason to avoid helping but be ready for Justice League 2. Mm-hmm. Justice League 2 kicks off with... So, they're doing the same thing that Marvel's doing, where Darkseid's going to be the big bad guy, but Darkseid doesn't happen until Justice League 3.
Right.
Steppenwolf comes as sort of a harbinger character, the way that Loki was in Avengers 1.
Sure.
But he doesn't... But they beat him, take care of him. But then you have Justice League 2, which is your Age of Ultron, which even Marvel didn't do the strongest with.
Right.
So, Justice League... 2 opens up with somebody probably shouldn't be Lex Luthor, but let's use Lex Luthor
as a placeholder
here, yeah. Since we know how he exists in there. Basically hitting all the Justice League at their weakest.
Sure.
He does something, you know, he breaks through whatever super advanced defense that Atlantis has. And knocks that down.
Mm-hmm.
He knows the, you know, secret number combination sure. that powers down Cyborg's guns and stuff. Whatever, he beats them all. And they're like, how does he know all of our weaknesses? And the reason he knows all of their weaknesses is basically he's hacked into Batman's mainframe. Batman has the Justice League mass email that he got with the data for everybody, including right. how you beat all these guys. And he's like, it was just in case you all turned bad. Everybody's super betrayed by Batman. So you have this Justice League 2 ending with this crumbling of the Justice League.
Right.
Meanwhile, about 2020, it'll have been 11 years since Green Lantern happens.
Okay.
It's time to try Green Lantern again.
Right, yeah.
In 2020. You don't do Hal Jordan because Hal Jordan is still tainted by
John Stewart.
You do John Stewart, yeah. Which also gives you Black Superhero. And what you do is you don't do Green Lantern, you do Green Lantern Corps. So we throw, you know, we immediately like John Stewart's the main character,
mm-hmm.
but we have this whole Green Lantern, you know, saga going.
Sure.
You go ahead and make Sinestro the bad guy straight off. You make this the Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Right.
It's this huge, massive cosmic thing happening way out there that has no real effect.
Right.
Over here.
Yeah. Same universe, just off.
Exactly. That's happening off there.
Okay.
You also make a Hawkman movie.
Okay.
You pitch it as a Hawkman movie. We're making a Hawkman movie. It's happening here. Hawkman City is the city from Suicide Squad, Midway City.
Right.
So that is the cleanup of Suicide Squad.
Sure.
You're building up this Hawkman movie. Literally halfway through that movie, Hawkman dies. Flat out not coming back, dies.
Okay.
Out of nowhere. Hawkman 2 is going to be a Hawkgirl movie.
Okay.
So you're building your eventual Justice League Unlimited.
Is it still going to be called Hawkgirl?
No, it's going to be called Hawkgirl. Okay. But Hawkgirl is going to be, you know, the side character, the hanging onto the leg character in the Hawkman poster.
Right.
So, but like... Then you get you're like, we're DC, we're not Marvel, we're the serious company by right. like killing off a main hero.
Right.
But you still like Hawkgirl is in the cartoon, Hawkgirl is more recognizable in that lineup.
Sure.
With Hawkgirl there. So you're still landing in these spots where you want to do this. Back to the end of Justice League 2. So Justice League 2, we beat Lex Luthor, or mm-hmm. Lex Luthor stand-in. Put him in jail, but the Justice League is broken.
Probably, yeah.
Batman has broken the trust of everybody.
Sure.
This was a good idea. This will never work.
Kind of like the same thing with Age of Ultron, kind of, you know, everyone kind of turning up,
mm-hmm.
you know, turning, not necessarily against him, but he loses the trust of
him. I'm not going to kill you, but I never want to see you again.
Yeah.
You have this Batman solo movie,
okay.
Where that's a little Batman gets his groove back, like, you know.
And you're talking about the one that's directed by Ben Affleck.
Exactly.
They just cast Joe Manganiello as Deathstroke.
Yeah, he's going to be Deathstroke. I wouldn't have done that, but that's what they've given me. So
yeah.
In trying to stick with the...
I knew he needed to be in a superhero movie somewhere. Not, I would have made him a hero, not necessarily a villain, but... Cool. Maybe he'll get his own. Maybe he'll get a Marvel one too.
And the biggest thing about that is you get some sort of like, yeah, some. And they probably won't do this because they're probably going to rush this Batman movie into production that will happen pre Justice League 2.
Yeah.
But it should. So.
I mean, everyone has more faith in a Ben Affleck directed
exactly.
movie than anything Zack Snyder's doing right
and,
now.
And what we could even do, here we go. We'll say there was a Batman movie, standalone, get Batman started there.
Sure.
So this can be Batman 2 after Justice League
sure.
2.
Okay.
I would do probably Man-Bat.
Okay.
So we can get, like... But because if Batman's going to continue to exist in this world,
mm-hmm.
You need... That's how you can do Man-Bat is this giant monster character.
Right.
And you get Batman to... You can do a lot of stuff where, you know, if it's in Gotham, he's like, there's this giant monster. Commissioner Gordon's like, there's no monsters. He's like, did you not see Steppenwolf 3 years ago?
Right.
There's monsters in this world now.
Right.
And so you get Batman... You get a Batman who gets to be the detective Batman, the figuring out Batman, the puzzling Batman.
Right.
But still a third act punching a monster in the face Batman... Because we're about to get Darkseid dropping in at the top of Justice League 3 Part 1.
Right.
I'm splitting Justice League 3 into two parts.
Okay.
Justice League 3 is...
And none of this has been announced. You're just speculating.
Yes.
Okay.
This is how I would do it.
Okay.
Justice League...
Just had to reset everybody. For
yes.
Okay.
I'm not spoiling anybody for anything.
Sure.
Justice League 3 opens up. Darkseid comes in. Darkseid... crushes something.
Sure.
Kills a lot of people.
Right.
And so you can get a point of like, this has not happened since Zod.
Sure.
You know, when they bent over backwards, like, nobody got hurt in Batman v Superman. This is the thing where you're like, and you can be like, no, people died here. Darkseid did this.
Sure.
And you know, this is a big, bad deal. And you 100% blame Zod on it. Superman, you know, comes in to save it. Gets knocked down. Wonder Woman comes in. Batman's like, I can help. Like, we don't want you, Batman. Don't you remember Justice League 2? And so the whole sequence is the reforming and repairing of the relationship of the Justice League. So you have your Act 3 of that movie where they come up and they're going to join together. You know, united we stand. We're beating them. And you have Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Cyborg, Flash, Hawkgirl.
Green Lantern?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
And one more person. I don't know. Honestly, probably Deadshot. Probably okay. A reformed Deadshot.
Okay.
And that's your one. I only have one girl. No, I have two girls. I have Hawkgirl and
yeah.
Wonder Woman. All right, yeah, there you go. Two girls. So that's your lineup. They're ready to go. And that's you have this beautiful Zack Snyder. Because the thing Zack Snyder can do is make those shots. You have this
yeah.
beautiful Zack Snyder shot of them all standing in a line, ready to go, and they come in and Darkseid, blah, blah, stop, you know, beats them all down again.
Right.
And you have this shot of him, you know, holding Superman by the throat, and Superman's got the laser eyes, and he's shooting, and, like, it goes down and dies. Very reminiscent to his eyes killing Zod.
Right.
And you have Darkseid, and he's holding him by the throat. Santa looked down, and he's like, and he does, like, you know, not super, just man. Something like that.
Sure.
And that's when you have ending of the movie, this, you know, giant green thing hits him in the back of the head, and it's Jon Stewart with the ring, and it's literally, like, the main cast of the Green Lantern Corps standing behind him.
Sure.
And so... If you do all of that, you can make Justice League 3 Part 2,
uh-huh.
which is like in 2024 at this point.
Sure.
You can make it a 2-hour action set piece like Mad Max Fury Road.
Okay.
If you've done all this setup and you've done it well, you can be like, we've done all the story buildup. Here is literally
all
a 2-hour Justice League versus Darkseid and company nonstop chase sequence fight.
Wouldn't that be exhausting?
It would be. Mad Max was. And you need rests and you need breathers.
Yeah, because that was my main complaint about Man of Steel is there was a good, like, the last 45 minutes was nothing but action and there was no nothing to break it up at all. And, like, by the end of that 45 minutes, I felt exhausted.
You need, in not yeah. a good way. You need rest and you need breathers, but you do not need all of that, like, who is this dark side?
Sure.
Yeah, we have to figure
I
out.
I see what you're saying.
All, that is, all that is set aside, taken care of. And yeah, and it can, but you can do this movie almost in real time.
Okay, yeah.
Especially if you've put up a, you know, Darkseid has set up something to go off in 2 hours at the end of that first part of Justice League 3.
Okay, yeah.
Then, and so it doesn't need to be nonstop action, but it can be set in real time. It can have that real race against the clock feel.
That would be hard to do, but yeah.
And it would need, and because so much of what the issue is now is I don't feel stress about these characters. I don't feel compassion and caring for these characters to succeed. Interesting and smart. And there needs to be a good, long 15-20 minute sequence where he is just Bruce Wayne. He is this charming, funny, happy, finger guns, you know, three girls on each arm.
Charming guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Rather than freaking out over someone saying Martha.
Exactly. He even when he was Bruce Wayne in that movie, he went to Lex's party, he was like, you know, very gravelly voice, Bruce Wayne, and like, it takes one person to be like, you know, I'm going to hold up a cat, I'll help your Batman.
Yeah.
Like, it was a worse disguise than the glasses for Clark Kent.
Just go up to Bruce Wayne, do the thing with it, you know, you cover the eyes just so you see, like, the nose and, like, the bottom of his face,
yeah.
And you just say, Martha, just to see what he does.
Anyway, that's my fix for the DC Cinematic Universe.
I mean, I would watch that.
I just talked a lot.
You did. And it's one of those things where it's like, I'm thinking, I was like, I should probably cut that into like some sort of video. But then I'm like, why would I put that on Classic Ring Guitars? Yeah.
Whew. All right. I'm exhaling.
Okay. You doing all right?
All right. Yeah.
A few deep breaths.
Do you want to try and, how would you do it?
I mean, I would just lighten up a little bit on Justice League, like not make it so like just dark and heavy. You know what I mean? Like, because that was the big thing. Like, it's like we wanted kind of a darker Superman going into Man of Steel, and that's what we got. But we didn't like the outcome. But ever since then, everything's tried to been like dark, gritty, and like no one cracks a smile.
Yeah.
And the reason why, like, well, one of the reasons why we love what Marvel's doing is everyone has a personality, mm-hmm. you know, and it's. They may not be, you know, ha-ha, Joker-y type, you know, funny, but they can still play into, like, making me the straight man in a comedic sequence or something.
Yeah.
There's something to enjoy about it, and right now DC is just, like, action sequence, like, you know you love this action sequence, and everyone is just kind of, like Batman is just kind of moody.
Yeah. Again, not to, like, just be like, Marvel did it right, you should follow the Marvels thing. But sure. Flash is your Ant-Man. Flash is
right.
Constant.
And you got a little bit of a taste of that in what we've seen of Flash so far.
Yeah, we absolutely
and
have.
And so that's why I'm feeling a little bit better about Justice League, that there is a little bit of a change of pace personality-wise in the mix.
There is a scene in the Justice League animated series where Flash and Lex Luthor switch minds, or switch bodies, whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so Flash is in, like, the, you know, Legion of Doom headquarters in Lex Luthor's body trying to, like, fake an evil plan. And Lex is in Flash's body,
mm-hmm.
and he's, like, in the watchtower, and he's hiding out, and he's like, well, at least I can find out Flash's secret identity. And he runs in the bathroom and pulls off the mask, and he's like, I have no idea who this is. I'm like, you know what? If literally shot for shot that was in a Justice League movie, perfect.
Fair enough.
So, all right. You ready?
Yes.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays, including this Sunday, which we will be tweeting Blacklash.
Wow. Okay.
That's I read it in the font that it's written in.
It sounded like you said Blacklash.
I did not.
Racist. All right. And if you are having any, I don't know how to speak. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want to bring up on the show, send that over to our email. That's classringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow us as we continue to do this podcast. You can subscribe, give us a rating of
5 stars,
or you write a review. That kind of interaction helps out iTunes metrics.
And if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Also on Facebook, easy way to follow Chris, easy way to follow myself, see what other kind of things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Dollywood!